to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. It's a good prayer. Sing along. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit,
Today's message is entitled, This Teaching is Difficult. The scripture, John chapter 6, verses 56 through 69. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, said Jesus, remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Do you not want to leave too? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
I can remember so vividly as a little boy seeing the movie The Bible. Cecil B. DeMille's movie was so powerful and it showed all the great stories of the Bible. It had such vivid power and strength, and they were scary at times when I saw them. But then you remember that the Hebrew language is a picture language. It has only 10,000 words as compared to the Greek, which has 200,000 words. Think about it. If you're familiar with the Bible at all, you'll notice that you can remember stories in the Old Testament much easier than you can the ones in the New Testament. Stories like David and Goliath and Samson, Delilah, Jonah and the whale, Joseph, the coat of many colors, and all of that are so full of action and vivid colors they're easy to remember. But now as we think of this lesson for today, I want you to remember that Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. People who went to the synagogue were Hebrew people who spoke Hebrew and thought in Hebrew and knew the Old Testament stories. You see, it is out of those stories that they forged their understanding of God. The synagogues were not only places for worship, but they were also places for great debate and centers for Jewish authority. Now, friends, I want you to remember, too, that the Jewish faith was not a simple matter. There were numerous understandings of the law and how they should be applied. There was, within the faith tradition, you know, very divergent groups. Groups like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and there were the priests and the Essenes, and even among the followers of Jesus, there were numerous groups. Often a group of persons who would follow Jesus, but they were actually committed to Jesus through their understanding of another leader who himself was a follower of Jesus. Even today, sometimes when you ask a person where they go to church, they tell you they go to so-and-so's church, and they tell you the pastor's name and never the name of the church. Now on this day, Jesus himself is teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. What Jesus said that day was an absolute shock to many who heard it. Most of them who heard had been living their lives, you see, believing about God in terms of the Old Testament traditions that they knew. They knew the stories of power and fear, and imagine remembering that God drowned an entire army because their leaders had disobeyed him. As they listened to Jesus, he is teaching them quite a different story. You see, he taught them that their relationship with God was not a result of their obedience to the laws. Their relationship to God was now through him. He was the food that came down from heaven to give them life. He would have a relationship with them in the same way, this is so important, he would have a relationship with them in the same way that the food they ate gave their bodies physical strength. In the same way he would give them spiritual strength. In fact, he would be the source of their lives. He connected their physical needs and their spiritual needs into one thing. He was the bread that came down that they would have to eat and drink if they were going to live. Now you and I might say, wow, isn't that beautiful? But friends, to understand this lesson, you have to get into the skin of one of those who were listening that day. You see, the Hebrew people expected a Messiah who would come and save them from their oppressors, and that he would get even with all of those who had hurt them. They had in their mind something like what happened to Pharaoh's army. They had a long laundry list of things they wanted the Messiah to do for them. When their Messiah came, they would not have to do anything or change any behavior. Now, Jesus was teaching them just the opposite. He said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will abide in me and I in them." Remember, one person said to Jesus, "This teaching is difficult." Of course it was. It was a teaching that was not about some food ritual or other religious act that they had to perform. It was about a relationship with Jesus himself. It would not be a debate over some ancient text, but a living relationship that is the living reality of all their debates and discussions of the law. You see, it all came to life in him. Jesus taught that he was the bread, the power, and the authority of God that came down, and that that power and authority was expressed in forgiveness and redemption and not in punishment and destruction as they understood it. To follow Jesus would mean that they would have to come to a completely new understanding of God. An understanding, you see, that was reflected in Jesus himself. Good friends, it's not easy to give up old ways. It's not easy to lay down old prejudices. It is not easy to stop believing that you are God's only chosen person. To continue to follow Jesus, the Hebrews would have to consider that God's grace was for the Philistines, the Samaritans, and for the Romans who now held them captive. It was tough. John says that Jesus knew that many who were there didn't really believe what he was saying. Can you imagine in your mind the hush that came over the synagogue that day when Jesus stopped talking, and many of those who had been followers of him got up and began to leave? You know, the lesson actually says that it was some of his disciples, but not the original 12. But persons who had said that day that they wanted to follow him, but now listen, as far as we can tell, the reason that they left that day was because they were unwilling to give up the traditions and prejudices for an intimate personal relationship with God. They didn't want a relationship that had life and breath and strength, a relationship that had Jesus at the center of it and leading people to life and to God. Not mere adherence to some ancient text that they always had subject to debate. Did you notice that the words that they describe their leaving, that the scriptures use to describe their leaving, actually means that they not only left, but they went far away? Several years ago, I was returning from Poland. John Frame, Methodist Hour's former president, our board chairman, well, we had just returned from a teaching mission in Warsaw. Because of flight schedules, we had to spend an extra night in Frankfurt, Germany. We were met there by a gracious Methodist clergywoman who is a missionary there from Denver, Colorado. She invited us to an ecumenical meeting that night in a local office building. There were about 30 persons in the room that night, and we sat in comfortable chairs arranged in kind of a circle, and most of the persons there spoke English. However, most of the conversation was in German. And I think John and I were about the only ones who could not speak German fluently or hardly at all. But our kind hostess always translated for us. Now, our scripture lesson today drew me back to the room that night. I remember thinking that as a little boy, I could never have imagined, not in my wildest imagination, would I have imagined that I would be in a room in Germany with Germans and Russians. You see, I was taught that they were to be hated. I remember the newsreels and the movies and the headlines of the newspapers describing how horrible the Germans and the Russians were. But that night we talked together about how to care for people who were stranded in Frankfurt from other countries, like the United States. They were talking about places where persons could worship God, the same one that John and I had talked about in Poland, the same God that we returned to Atlanta and worship. No mention was ever made of their color of their skin, their denomination, or what they did or where they were born. Friends, our world desperately needs, it weeps for reconciliation with God and with each other. Many of us cling so tenaciously to man-made traditions and prejudices that are clearly not of God, and yet somehow we debate them until we convince ourselves that we're right. You know, in a way, I hope you hear this correctly, in a way I kind of take off my hat to those disciples who walked away. They were honest enough to say that they could not eat the bread or drink the cup at the price of personal change. Not long ago, I read a story in the Methodist Reporter about a man who was standing in line in church waiting to take communion. As he waited, he took out his cellular phone to return some business calls, and when it was time for him to be served next, he said, "Well, I've got to hang up now. I'm next at the Lord's Supper." Now, I do not mean to discount the man's faith, but if you consider that he was in line to share in the body and the blood and the life and the breath of God, it would seem that that would overshadow a telephone call. Unless, of course, it was just a matter of celebrating some food ritual. Now, I must confess to you that there are times in my life when I've gone to the table and I've ate the bread and drank the cup and found often that it was easier for me to talk about my belief in Christ than it was for me to respond with my whole being. I mean, sometimes I have to walk away from what I believe that He really wants me to do. Because you see, the teaching is so difficult. Does that ever happen to you? Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Dear friend, Jesus came to change the world, and He changes us as individuals from the inside out. When we surrender ourselves to Him, He gives us new values. Our lives become centered in God instead of centered in self.
John, give us your further word.
Thank you very much. You know, in talking with parents of teens, the number one topic is usually about their fear of drugs. Parents are doing everything possible to enrich the lives of their young people, just hoping that it would deter them from even being interested in using any kind of drug. But the truth is, drug use and drug abuse is getting worse, not better. I wish just praying would solve it. Of course, prayer is critical. But I've met with a lot of parents whose faces were drenched with tears over the addiction of their child. Their prayers were so deep you could just feel the groaning of their hearts. But here's what I do know. In family systems research, we know that the number one thing that will have the greatest influence on the life of a child is having parents who love each other. Having the love of Christ in a family is the beginning of healing. Having a loving and safe environment is a place where you don't need some kind of addiction to make you feel good about yourself. And that's the best gift you can give your child. Every prisoner that I've ever interviewed in prison spoke of the brokenness in their family of origin. More and more families just don't go to church, but many listen to the radio as their source of some kind of worship. And I'm asking you today to help us be a source of strength for the thousands of families who are searching for God, who look to the radio as their source. Together we can really make something happen. Go online today, would you, to MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com. You can use PayPal to send your gift to help, either a check, a credit card, or just write to us. Or just call me direct, John Wolf, 678-488-2162. John Wolf, 678-488-2162. Blessings on you. Thank you.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying, that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.